Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Laura Nell here. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. It is currently March 15th, 10:30 a.m. Laura Nell of the High Desert is brought to you by CrossFit Yucca Valley, which is a great location to go for working out, lifting weights, and ultimately building connections with residents in the community, and to just build a team atmosphere and have motivation while you're doing fitness. It's really a great location located in Yucca Valley. You can give them a call, see what their schedule is so that you can go in and do an intro session. They're really great people, and I'm really glad that they support my broadcast. I also want to give thanks to Radio Free Joshua Tree for broadcasting my broadcast 5 days a week. That's really great of them to do that. If you would like to support my broadcast, learn more about my broadcast, you can go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com. High is spelled H-I, and there are ways for you to communicate with me through the website. You can send me a message and ultimately share information with me, and also inquire about how you can sponsor or support the broadcast here. I'm starting off with a piece of history, as usual, coming from the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. This is coming from their 100-year project from 1910 to 2010. It's a book full of history about the Morongo Basin, and so I always love to start with a little tidbit from this book. This story I'm reading is coming from the year 1918, and the title of the article is Dr. Lucky and the Veterans. So here's what the article says. Dr. James B. Lucky had served with the U.S. Army Medical Department in San Diego, California. When he resumed his private practice after World War I, the welfare of the veterans suffering from lung disorders was still uppermost in his mind. With the encouragement of the American Legion post in Pasadena, he set out with his friend, Joe Davis, to find a place that was climately suitable for their recuperation. After scouting areas so far away as Victorville, he chose the clear, dry air of 29 Palms as the ideal spot. A majority of the area's settlers had originally come for health reasons. On the recommendation of Dr. Lucky, they stayed and became the founding members of the community. James B. Lucky is known as the father of 29 Palms. Wow, I did not know that. That's really interesting to know about how 29 Palms originally came about. Very fascinating. I love covering history. It's a highlight here. You'll be hearing this more frequently in my broadcast, is about the historical societies in the area and ultimately how development came about here in the Morongo Basin and nearby desert areas. I have a lot of events to share with you. There's so much going on. I know it started heating up. I was just down in the lower desert a couple days ago. The BNP Paribas Open was happening at the tennis gardens in Indian Wells, and I realized how warm it is. I said, oh, it's finally warming up. Personally, I'm excited. I really dig summer. It's my time of the year. And so there's a lot happening, and more people are coming out as the weather becomes warmer. And obviously, it's going to become so warm and not too long from now that it's going to people are going to go back inside during the day. But here are the events going on for this next week. There's so much that I really encourage you to go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and go to my calendar, because I know that some of you are probably like me. You like to plan your next few weeks in advance. That's usually what I do. I like to know what I'm going to be doing 2 or 3 weekends from now. And so there's so much happening that, I encourage you to go to my website so that you can see what's happening even beyond this next week, because that's all I'm covering right now is what's happening this week. Tonight, on March 15th, there will be a Death Cafe that is going to take place at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center. This is hosted by Transition Joshua Tree. And the description says, at death cafes, people drink coffee, eat cake, and discuss death. The aim is to increase awareness of death and to help people make the most of their finite lives. They ask you to bring coffee or they'll bring the coffee and cake. You bring a mug and napkin. There's a $5 donation. If you would like to learn more, you can call Susan at 760-851-5290 or Daniela at 760-534-7602. And I actually looked more into this event because I thought it was a little odd. They sent out an invite a couple weeks ago, Transition Joshua Tree did. And so I began looking more into it, and I found out that this event called Death Cafe is actually an international event. And on the website, which is deathcafe.com, it says that it's actually a franchise event and it takes place all over the world. So I'm going to just read a little bit more about Death Cafe because I find it to be an interesting topic. At a Death Cafe, people, often strangers, gather to eat cake, drink tea, and discuss death. Our objective is to increase awareness of death with a view to helping people make the most of their finite lives. A Death Cafe is a group-directed discussion of death with no agenda, objectives, or themes. It is a discussion group rather than a grief support or counseling session. Our Death Cafes are always offered on or not-for-profit basis in an accessible, respectful, and confidential space, with no intention of leading people to any conclusion, product, or course of action, alongside refreshing drinks and nourishing food. If you're interested in holding Death Cafe, please go to our how-to guide. Death Cafe is a social franchise. This means that people who sign up to our guide and principles can use the name Death Cafe, post events to this website, and talk to the press as an affiliate of Death Cafe. Death Cafes have spread quickly across Europe, North America, and Australasia. As of today, we have offered 1,659 Death Cafes since September 2011. If 10 people came to each one, that would mean 16,590 participants. We've established both that there are people who are keen to talk about death and that many are passionate enough to organize their own death cafe. The Death Cafe model was developed by John Underwood and Susan Barsky Reed based on the ideas of Bernard Cretaz. Death Cafe has no staff and is run on a voluntary basis by John Underwood in Hackney, East London. Also, Lizzie Miles, who ran for the first Death Cafe in the U.S., and Megan Mooney, who runs the Death Cafe Facebook page, have played a significant role in Death Cafe's development. We remain energized by the amazing quality of the dialogue at our events and are overwhelmed by the interest we have received. People often ask, why are we doing this? Everyone has their own reasons for getting involved in Death Cafe. And that is that. They also have a section about their history. I thought that was interesting because I have personally never heard of a social franchise. So it's interesting to share this concept of social franchise and how to spread an event with a particular subject in mind. So I guess if you have an event in mind of something maybe you would like to take off, I mean, this is really a foundation for all kinds of events that can happen, and anyone can start them and kind of mimic this model. So that's really fascinating. And there are more Death Cafes scheduled here in the Valley. I'm just in the process of getting the official information. So this is not the only one. There will be more. On, let me see, March 18th, 2015, there will be a seed swap at the Yucca Mesa Community Center, and this is benefiting the Yucca Mesa Community Garden. It will start at 6 p.m., and there is a $5 fee for non-members. Yucca Mesa Improvement Association members do attend for free. So this is at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. The Yucca Mesa Improvement Association is backing the community garden, and so they do have a membership opportunity. If you would like to join, then you can look into that further. Just Google Yucca Mesa Improvement Association, and they have a website that explains more about membership options. There will be a Black Rock Lecture Series on, let me pull up the date. Okay, it's coming up soon. Let me check really quick. Okay, the Black Rock Lecture Series will be on March 20th, starting at 7 p.m., and this will be at the Copper Mountain College Bell Center. The topic is engaging a new generation of park stewards. This is free to attend, but they do ask that you register online just so that they know how many people are attending. You can go to my website, laurenelofthehighdesert.com, for a link to register. Again, it is free, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of people go. There was a lot of people who attended the last one. The Mojave Desert Land Trust will be hosting a stewardship program at their Coyote Valley property on March 21st. There will be a meet and greet followed by the Mojave Desert Land Trust first stewardship event on their Coyote Valley property. The description says, please join us in North Joshua Tree off Sunfair Road for our first Coyote Valley stewardship event with a pre-event coffee and welcome address by the Mojave Desert Land Trust Executive Director, Danielle Segura. After having coffee with our people, get ready to roll up your sleeves and join us for cleanup and restoration activities on this critical habitat, which is a part of the wildlife linkage area that the Land Trust is dedicated to protecting. We encourage you to invite family and friends who would like to be involved in this effort. Again, this will be Saturday, March 21st, starts at 8:30 a.m., goes to 12 p.m., and you can go to my website for more specific information about where the location is. This is a lot of fun. I went to one of their restoration events a couple months ago, and it turned out to be a great workout and really great to meet people, because the people who show up to these events are very involved and like to know what's happening and are supportive of the Mojave Desert Land Trust. So this should be a lot of fun. The Western Mojave Meeting and Workshop will be taking place on March 31st from noon to 3 p.m. This will be at the Community United Methodist Church in Joshua Tree. This meeting and workshop will provide a full briefing about the Western Mojave Meeting. You know, I don't really know what WEMO stands for, but it deals with off-road vehicles. So they're going to be meeting to discuss the plan and opportunity to make comments to restrict access to off-road vehicles to our rural communities and protected desert lands. There will be a full briefing by the Center for Biological Diversity, comment on the draft environmental impact statement report, and protect the desert from off-road vehicles, trespass, and damage. As a result of a successful lawsuit by environmentalists, the Bureau of Land Management has been forced to reconsider over 5,000 miles of off-road vehicle routes in the Western Mojave Desert that allow for trespass and damage to private property, natural, and cultural resources. At the same time, off-road vehicle special interests are trying to increase the number of routes. For more information, you can contact Vic Fuller at 760-217-2824. That should be really interesting. Again, that will be March 21st from noon to 3 p.m. at the Community United Methodist Church in Joshua Tree. Moving on, Bequinox is almost here. It will be March 19th through the 22nd, 2015. So be prepared for that. There's probably going to be a lot of people in town. This is the LA region's Burning Man gathering, and I know it's really popular. There's been a lot of people talking about it. If you would like to attend, it's $100. I'm not really sure what the status is in terms of ticket availability, but I have never attended this before. I know that a lot of residents here are attending, a good number from what I've heard, and so this should be an interesting event to hear about. I am not scheduled to go. Transition Joshua Tree March Potluck will be taking place on Sunday, March 22nd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Mesa. Here's what the description reads. Transition Joshua Tree was begun by a handful of locals who could no longer ignore the issues brought forth by peak oil, climate change, and economic instability. It grew into a group of people who together are actively facing the future by becoming a resource for teaching, demonstrating strategies for community resilience. The organization has three working groups who hold regular meetings and community events, water, permaculture, and heart and soul. This meeting is being put on by Heart and Soul and features musical. I guess there will be music. You are welcome to attend. There is no charge. Please bring your own plates, cups, and utensils. because it is a no-waste event, you can contact Transition Joshua Tree by emailing transitionjoshuatree@gmail.com. That's all I have for the events. And like I said, that's just the events for this coming week. So there's so much going on beyond that. And again, I encourage you to plan ahead to that. You can support the community groups in this area because there's so many fun things happening. And I like to stay up with what's happening. I always feel sad if I missed out on something that was really cool. Here's some information about local events I've recently attended and my feedback on it. I did attend the Morongo Basin MAC meeting on March 9th, 2015. And so here's some information about it. There was public comment for supporting bike paths primarily along Highway 62. And it was pointed out this is somewhat a redundant issue, but it is important to bring it up again and again. And I agree as well. I have to be honest, ever since I moved up here to the high desert, I haven't really ridden a bike at all. I just feel really unsafe. The first day I moved here in Joshua Tree, there was a roadside accident on Alta Loma, not far from my cross street. And it's just kind of stuck with me, and I haven't really pursued cycling at all. Compared to when I was in LA, where I would ride up to 40 miles a day sometimes. So I think it is really important to keep the bike path infrastructure in mind. And I even referenced to California Cycleway pretty often, which was a bike path that was built in the early 1900s in Los Angeles. And it's just absolutely amazing. If you search it, California Cycleway, you will see that it is actually an elevated bike path that allowed people to easily ride through the LA region at that time, which at the time it was not developed at all. But again, it was an elevated bike path that just looks so amazing. I wish that we had these elevated bike paths that would allow cyclists to actually bypass even having to cross at a crosswalk, and it would just bypass so many problems. So that's what comes to my mind when I think of bike paths. But a bike path along Highway 62 would be great as well. There's also a speaker from the Morongo Basin Conservation Association who encouraged everyone to pull Sahara mustard plants if you see them. They are a plant that does not fare well with other desert vegetation. And it was noted that if you do pull Sahara mustard, don't just leave them on the ground because their seeds will spread. So it's ideal that when you pull Sahara mustard plants that you actually put them in a trash bag and dispose of them. There was a speaker from Caltrans who gave an update about local road infrastructure. He did say that there will be more construction on Highway 62. There will be a center turn lane installed on Highway 62 for the entire route. I'm not really sure what the distance is in terms of from point A to point B, but he did point out that, and I have noticed this as well too, that it's pretty odd how when you start to drive past Park Road on towards 29 Palms on Highway 62, that the center turn lane fluctuates. Sometimes it's there, and then sometimes it's not there. So there's this fluctuation in the road, and so he mentioned that there's plans to install a center turn lane along the whole highway. He also mentioned that bike paths are not under Caltrans jurisdiction, that bike path installation would actually be under the city or county's jurisdiction. Someone in the audience asked about turn lanes that have been installed in Landers, and the representative said that the turn lanes in Landers were actually sponsored by the community of Landers and were conducted by the county. So turn lanes in certain parts of Landers are not associated with Caltrans. There was a presentation by an off-highway vehicle reporting group that had been launched in 1999. It's actually off-highway vehicle enforcement. And it was generally spoken and said that there's illegal off-way or off-road vehicle driving in the Morongo Basin. That's pretty obvious. We hear about it all the time. But there's actually an enforcement group. So if you do see people who are off-roading in an area that they shouldn't be in, maybe it's an area that you question, then you can give a call to these two numbers, 760-366-3781, as well as 760-245-2011. And someone in the audience actually asked the speaker about a certain area in Landers, asking the speaker, why haven't you gone to this area to patrol it? Why haven't you enforced restrictions in this particular area that has been overrun by off-roaders? And it was interesting because the speaker said that, you know, they can't be everywhere at all times and that off-roaders will pop up in certain places. So sometimes they'll be in one area, then they'll hit up another area, and it's pretty difficult for them to know exactly where the off-roaders are at all times. So they did recommend that if you do see activity, that you give them a call because it will alert them of that area to become more aware of it and to go to that area. He did say that it's difficult to actually track down off-roaders because by the time they get out there, the off-roaders have obviously vacated the area. But there are some times where they do get a hold of them, they do track them down because a lot of people come out here completely oblivious to the concept of private property or property ownership. And so they will ride around for some time and not. Or be completely unaware that they are in an illegal area or they're illegally off-roading. I also didn't know this, and it was mentioned that there is an open route that starts off of Funfair in Joshua Tree and extends all the way to Wonder Valley. And this is an open off-roading route because I have inquired about routes in this area, and generally I have heard that practically everywhere is illegal for off-roading here in the Joshua Tree area. But again, there is a route that starts off of Sunfair. So if you would like to know more about that, then I suggest that you call the numbers I provided. Finally, there will be a burrito breakfast at Covington Park in Morongo Valley on March 21st from 8 to 11 a.m. And the reason for this burrito breakfast is to support the community of the Morongo Valley, because they're trying to raise money for getting a new fire truck. I attended a workshop in Palm Springs on Friday, March 13th, at a location called Sky Island Organics. And I just wanted to quickly mention this, because, you know, I am very supportive of healthy initiatives or alternative diets. I find it to be an interesting topic. So I learned that there was going to be a workshop about tonic herbs and alchemy again at Sky Island Organics in Palm Springs. So I went. To be quite honest, I'm not very familiar with herbalism or alchemy, so this was an intro event. And this is a part of a speaker series, actually. So I will be sharing more about upcoming events at Sky Island Organics. And when I was there, I actually learned that Sky Island Organics, which is a store, you can buy various herb products, health products, and things like that. The original location is in Idyllwild, and they also have a Palm Springs location. I'm not sure when it opened, but I thought that was pretty cool that it's an extension off of an Idyllwild location. But at this particular workshop, the speaker was Scott Lind of a Santa Barbara-based company known as Sun Potion, where the company sells herb products and algae, various mushrooms, and related products. And so he went over a number of herbs and what their benefits are to the body and why he became involved with the topic, which he said that he had moved to Santa Barbara over 4 years ago. And while he was in Santa Barbara, he became exposed to unique diets and health, general health, and he just became really interested in the topic, which led him to start looking into herb production and herb creation and how to intertwine it with the diet. So it was a really great presentation, and he made an elixir or a blend with the various herbs produced by Sun Potion. And so it was a really great event, and I'm hoping to bring more of that up to the high desert or to connect more with people involved with health and herbalism and related issues, because it's interesting to learn about, especially when we're always for me, constantly hearing about the epidemics in the U.S. about poor health and obesity. So I like to keep an open ear to these topics. On March 14th, which was Saturday, I went to Goff, California with the Morongo Basin Historical Society. This was a full-day event, and the attendees carpooled. I actually carpooled with Claudia of the Morongo Basin Historical Society, and we took a two-hour drive to go to Goff, which is an abandoned community north of the 40 on the edge of the Mojave Preserve. The reason why I wanted to go was because I went to the Route 66 presentation a couple weeks ago, at the 29 Palms old schoolhouse, and Goff was specifically mentioned because Goff used to be on the original Route 66 highway. So I was very excited to go on this trip. It was, for me as a non-member, $15, which I thought was a good deal for, you know, a ride there and a tour. So we eventually get there, and it was really interesting location because it was out in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing around it other than a railroad where trains were constantly passing by. And there was a schoolhouse that had been fully restored. Really nice structure. And there was also a replicated train depot because Goff used to be a location where trains would stop as well. And so the train depot was really important in the community. So it was a town out in the middle of nowhere. And the guide who was giving us a tour, him and his wife actually live on the site full time. And they perform general maintenance, give tours, and they receive a very small stipend, and just explained how the structure, the schoolhouse, came to be restored. I don't have the name of the group that was able to raise funds to restore it, but it made me question, out of all the failed communities throughout the desert in the southwestern region, why was Goff selected to be restored? Because the structure was at one point really damaged, very damaged, to the point that it could have been torn down. But again, it was restored to its glory, to what it looked like in 1914. And there's a great museum there with the various items that are connected to the history in the area. I was going to share more information with you, but I'm running out of time, unfortunately. I will say that the Yucca Mesa Community Garden has been successful in its initiation process. They did have a groundbreaking on March 7th, 2015, and a lot of members became involved. Another interesting story I came across was a marijuana seize that happened in Lucerne Valley and nearby communities, I think also in Landers. And I just want to say that story is coming from March 11, 2015. And I think it's interesting because, just to share my personal stance, I'm really lenient on marijuana usage, but it is important to keep track of this type of activity when it's illegal, because marijuana growth and plant growth can take up a lot of water and energy when it's done illegally and it's not checked. So that's primarily why I'm mentioning this story. That's all I have for now. I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If there's something that I need to add to my calendar, maybe there's a story that you would like me to emphasize, then please let me know. I primarily keep up with development happening in the area, solar development, commercial development, but I also cover, as you've heard in this podcast, community type of activities. All right, take care. Visit me at laurenlofthehighdesert.com as well as on Facebook.